Hello and welcome to episode number 36 of News of the Nerd, a podcast where we talk about movies, TV shows, video games, comic books, and anything else remotely nerdy. I am Jason, and I'm here with my brother slash co-host, Ben.
Bonjour.
Hello, Ben. How are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
I was fully debating just going, I am okay, Jason. How are you?
Yeah, we've replaced Ben with a less annoying version of Ben, but unfortunately he is French.
No, I am French.
I can't say that.
You can say that, and you just did, and it's staying in, because French. Fuck the French.
Definitely can't say that.
I'm joking. We love the French, and I think we've got some listeners in France, so bonjour. Oui, oui.
No, I went before we started recording.
But no, I am good. Feeling very ADHD today, so this is going to be a very good episode.
Great. That's just what we need.
All right, Tony the Tiger.
Okay, so we've not got like one big thing to talk about today, but we've got some news.
We've got a normal episode for once.
Yes, yeah, we've got some news to discuss. So it's some big bits.
To be fair, though, I do feel like these are... This is not a normal episode anymore. These are the special episodes where we just talk normally.
Yes.
Yeah. Normally we have a subject.
Yeah, that is true. Right, so shall we start with...
The biggest news.
Okay, The biggest news, I believe, is the cast of Fantastic Four has been revealed.
Come on, Daddy Pascal!
And with a brilliant poster as well.
Oh, it's... Do you know what? I feel like it was just so subtle.
Yeah.
They just posted Happy Valentine's Day. Like, it weren't like a... They didn't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, so Marvel posted a Valentine's Day message with a bit of artwork that, honestly, initially I scrolled past it because I thought it was some sort of fan art or a comic book cover. Or something like that. I didn't realize at first when I saw it that it was the official announcement. And then, like, as I scrolled past, I'm like, wait a minute, that was Pedro Pascal, and went back up. And yes, it is a fantastic bit of artwork showing the four cast members, which are Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, Ebon Moss Bacharach as the Thing.
Yes.
And Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm.
Just there, so, are you asking me or telling me? You're normally terrible with names. I thought that would have been a fuck you up a bit. The only person that I've not really seen much of is Ebon Moss Bacharach.
I told you ages ago to watch The Bear because you will like The Bear.
Yeah, I haven't got round to it yet. I know I'll like it. I've seen clips of it, and I know I will like it. I just haven't got around to watching it yet.
Yeah.
Joseph Quinn, so, I think that is a fantastic casting for Johnny
Storm. Let's start from the top. So Pedro Pascal is probably the name on there people will be most familiar with.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably Vanessa Kirby as well, but Pedro Pascal, I think, has had a really great run recently. So,
oh, God, since Game of Thrones, he's just non-stop.
Yeah, so, like, everyone on the planet watched Game of Thrones. So he was... I remember him, but I can't remember the guy's name. Who did he play?
Oberyn Martell.
Oberyn Martell.
And I think that was probably...
An eye-popping performance.
Hey! See what you did there. I like that. I like it. I feel like that was like season 4, season 5, so probably about 2015.
Possibly.
2016. And I think since then he's just been in everything.
I mean, more recently, he was in The Last of Us, which again was a fantastic series. We talked about that on this podcast. We went in depth on that one and talked about how much we loved that show beginning to end. He's in The Mandalorian. He's mostly the voice in The Mandalorian, let's be honest. I don't think he's in the suit most of the time.
That is not a bad thing.
I'm just saying. Do you know, have we discussed before who is actually in the suit? Have I told you who that is?
We have discussed it. I can't remember his name.
It is the son of John Wayne. Is it the son or the grandson? Oh, it's the grandson of John Wayne. It is Brendan Wayne, which just, it fits so well when it is basically a space western.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people might know his voice from The Mandalorian and his face from that one episode.
Just quick reeling stuff off is like the unbearable weight of massive talent. Kingsman.
I love that film.
It's great. It's a great film.
Unbearable weight of massive talent.
Kingsman, Golden Circle, Triple Frontier, is in The Great Wall. The Mentalist.
He was in. It might not have been a fantastic film, but he was in Wonder Woman 1984, and I think one of my favourite parts of that film was him. But yeah, so I think he.
Narcos, obviously.
I've never watched it. But yeah, I think he has the potential to be a really great Mr. Fantastic. Vanessa Kirby.
Again, great actress.
Yeah, so most recently she's been in Napoleon, which I haven't watched yet, so I can't really comment on.
I think the first thing I recognised from as soon as I saw the picture, I was like, oh, she's from About Time.
Yeah, she is.
She's the friend.
She's from About Time, which is...
the essence of British film.
Just, yeah, like, honestly...
I've rewatched it so many times.
Such a clever little film as well. We're going to do a time travel film. We've got basically no budget, so we don't need to do any fancy special effects. Tell you what, he can go and stand in a wardrobe, and when he comes out, he's back in time. We don't need to change the set dressing because he's not going to go back years and years. He's going to go back to last Thursday.
it is just such a great film. I feel like we should do an episode on time travel movies.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like that'd be a good episode. She was in Imitation Game.
She was.
A few of the Fast and Furious.
Has she been in a few Fast and Furiouses? I thought she was just in Hobbs and Shaw.
Not Fast and Furious. She's in
Mission Impossible.
That's it. Yeah.
She's been in the, I think, two most recent Mission Impossible films.
Three. She's in the new one as well that's going to be coming out next year.
Dead Reckoning Part 2.
Yeah. She was in Me Before You. Everest, which is such a great film.
I haven't seen Everest.
Everest is really good.
I think my favourite piece of casting here is Ebon Moss Bacharach as the Thing. And so he's been in Andor. A lot of people will recognise him from that, but by far his biggest role, and I think his most recognisable role, is in The Bear. And like I said, if you've not watched The Bear yet, seriously, give it a go. It really is such a fantastic film about like that
industry.
Kind of, yeah, it's the high-pressure kitchen environment, but it's, yeah, there's just, I don't want to spoil it, but there's so much more to it.
Why I've not got round to it, because it'll just give me PTSD from working in kitchens.
But yeah, definitely give that a go. So something interesting that I read earlier is he will actually be the first Jewish actor to play the Thing in live action.
Okay.
Which feels like a good step forward, because it's part of Ben Grimm's character. He is Jewish. And then Joseph Quinn. I think most people are going to know Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things. He was one of those characters. Stranger Things does this every series. They introduce a new fan favourite character just so they've got someone to kill off in the final episode and give it some emotional weight, because they refuse to kill off any of the core characters.
Unless he returns, we don't know.
Well, I feel like he might be a bit busy now.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so he played Eddie in the last series of Stranger Things.
The scene with the guitar. Oh.
Yeah, Eddie, the guitar playing D&D nerd, like bad boy with a heart of gold.
It's like every nerd we know.
But yeah, I really enjoyed Eddie's character. And I knew from fairly early on that they were going to end up killing him, because that is just what they do.
Just what happens. He was also in Game of Thrones.
I mean, he's an English actor, so yeah.
all available English actors were like, we need you. We're running out of actors.
But yeah, I think he's going to be able to pull off a really great, like, it's the, you know, cocky, arrogant, hothead, no pun intended. But, like, that's what Johnny Storm is, isn't he?
Do you know what's also funny is that Pedro Pascal and Joseph Quinn are both going to be in Gladiator 2.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I feel really positive about this casting.
Yeah.
Like, all four, I think, are really interesting choices. I feel like the one that's playing against type most is Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
But he is such an accomplished actor already. Like, we know that he's capable of a lot of diversity in his roles.
He has such a spectrum of what he can do.
Yeah. Yeah, like, for once, we're not talking about the autistic spectrum on this podcast. We're talking about his acting spectrum.
Risen with the tism.
So I reposted this poster onto the News of the Nerd Facebook page, and the caption that I put with it was that the worst kept MCU secret since No Way Home has now been confirmed. Because I think we've all known for quite a while that Pedro Pascal was going to be Mr.
Well, there
Fantastic.
Was that rumor, and you were like, "Well, it's not being confirmed. It's just a rumor." I was like, "Yeah."
Well, yeah, it was just a rumor, and then it got added to his like SAG-AFTRA profile. So yeah, like, we've known it was coming, but I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to start. What other casting is going to start being announced now? Because now we've announced the big four. I imagine they will slowly start drip feeding us other bits of casting. Yeah.
Well, the script's said to have been done, but they're keeping the plot very under wraps.
Yeah. Well, this is
which being I feel released. Like if they announced soon, if they before a trailer, I feel like they'll wait for a trailer to kind of announce the casting of the enemy. Because I feel like that will then give us
no.
sort of a plot.
I don't think they will. But this is being released on the 2nd of May next year, so I would imagine we're going to be filming soon.
Yeah.
To be able to get it edited and get the visual effects, because there's going to be a lot of visual effects in this.
Oh, God. Everyone's power needs visual effects.
Yeah. I mean, Vanessa Kirby is, I guess, the easiest to do. She just doesn't have to turn up to set if she doesn't want. Just send do a voiceover.
Send a voice note over message.
But yeah, so this is being released on the 2nd of May, which was the release date for the Thunderbolts. So that is now going to release in July next year. So slated for 2025, we've got the Fantastic Four, we've got Captain America Brave New World, the Thunderbolts, and Blade. I don't think Blade's going to come out next year, honestly, but we'll see. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of rumors as to who the villain's going to be. Galactus keeps being rumored, and where there's Galactus, there's the Silver Surfer. I've seen rumors that there's going to be that we're going to use a female herald of Galactus. Whether it's the Silver Surfer or not, because I think there has been a female herald,
yeah,
at least one in the comics. But I think no matter whether Galactus is the main villain or not, I think Doctor Doom will definitely be a part of this as well. I feel like you can't do a Fantastic Four origin story without including Doctor Doom in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
The other thing about this poster is it looks very 60s. And we've talked before about how that might work, how these could be the big heroes of their time in their universe and then get pulled into the main MCU timeline afterwards, which seems like a possibility now. There's also, so one of them, is it Ben Grimm, is reading a magazine. Ben Grimm's reading a magazine, and you can't quite tell what it is, but it looks very similar to an issue of Life that was released, I think it was 1963.
Well, there's the robot as well that looks very Fallout-y. which is like 60s, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so 1963, that issue of Life magazine that Ben Grimm looks to be reading was released. So it looks like it could be set in the early 60s, which I think is very cool.
The outfits are very 60s.
Yeah, and I think they could use these for this one film, and then they'll get something, get an updated version further down the line in Avengers, not Kang Dynasty.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is all very cool. It's been a big week for Marvel because we've also had the first trailer for Deadpool 3.
We have.
It does kind of feel like Madame Web came out and then Marvel was just like, we're just going to release all our big news now and bury Madame Web.
So they've also changed the name of it.
Yeah, well, it's been rumored for a while what it might be called, you know, Deadpool 3, Deadpool versus Wolverine. I saw that one of the things that got patented was just called Deadpool and Friends, which I quite liked. Makes it sound like a Saturday morning cartoon.
But yeah, so Deadpool and Wolverine. So the trailer actually broke the viewing record.
It did. So it was the record that was previously set
by No Way Home.
By No Way Home, yeah. And it had something like 365 million views in the first 24 hours.
Yeah, so Deadpool and Wolverine had 365 million views in the first 24 hours, whereas No Way Home had 355. So I feel like 10 million views is not a small amount to surpass either.
It is impressive. And we've said before that, you know, Deadpool cuts through to audiences that wouldn't normally be bothered about an MCU film. And I think especially the inclusion of Hugh Jackman's Wolverine in there.
Even though it's a very small part, isn't it? It's literally a shadow.
In the trailer, yeah, but in the film.
No, like, that's
the film's
what I mean.
Called Deadpool and Wolverine. So we get some stuff confirmed that was rumored in there. So the TVA being a part of this film is confirmed.
Which is a very odd, just even though it were rumored, just seeing it was very odd.
It feels odd now that the TVA has changed. At the end of Loki Series 2.
The uniforms are different now.
Yeah. At the end of Loki Series 2, the TVA isn't doing what it did before. It's not like clearing up any timeline that isn't the sacred timeline. It's now like protecting the timelines against Kang. So, but, you know, they exist.
But is Deadpool being recruited?
They exist like outside of time. So maybe this is the TVA before Loki.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Because it can't be a different TVA.
I mean, you'd imagine not.
Because the multiverse exists beyond all the multiverses, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, like, right at the beginning of this trailer, we get some returning cast confirmed. Like, some of these had been rumoured, some of these were a surprise. So you've got, I can't even remember his name, like, one of the guys from the mercenaries bar that Wade used to go to is in there. Yeah. You've got Shatterstar is in there.
You've got Domino.
Is Domino there?
In the very first.
Because I don't remember seeing Domino, and that's something I was going to mention. I've got it up now, so let's have a look. So there's Shatterstar. We've got Dapinda, obviously. Had to come back. Colossus is there.
It was Shatterstar.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So you've got Colossus is there, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and Yukio, which we were saying we hoped that both of these would be back.
And what's the guy with no powers? What's he called? Ken?
Peter.
Peter, something like that.
I think it's Peter.
It's just the face that he gives you is like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. Blind Owl is there, and Vanessa. I hope we treat Vanessa better in this film. I hope we don't kill her off right at the beginning again, because that really did feel like such a poor choice. One of my pet peeves, like, you know, that the entire first film is about this relationship, and then to kill her off right at the beginning of the sequel just feels like such a like, fuck you. It's like... kind of invalidates
what Deadpool is, though, isn't it?
It kind of invalidates the entire first film, though. Like, none of that actually matters because she's just going to die right at the beginning of the next one. It reminded me of, I admit, this is such a stupid comparison, Ted. Remember Ted 2? Ted, like, it's all about that relationship between Marky Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
And then, the whole thing is them repairing their relationship or growing apart and coming back together, Ted saving their relationship, like, literally sacrificing his life at one point to save their relationship. And in the sequel, they've just broken up and she's not in it at all. And it's like, well, what was the point in all that then?
They couldn't get her back.
It just...
It's like, I'm not being sexually harassed by a bear for another movie.
And that might be a strange comparison, but that's the sort of thing it reminded me of.
I think my favourite thing in this movie, the comment about, I'm not new to pegging, but Disney are.
Yeah, which is, it's a nice callback to Deadpool 1. There's the
pegging scene.
The holidays of the year montage, and in one of them he gets pegged. I'm glad that his wig didn't last long, because
that is terrifying.
So I'm glad that that gets ripped off.
Yeah, but it's purposefully ripped off. It's not like they're trying to grab him or out. They literally just take the hair off him.
Like, this looks ridiculous. Take it off.
It's like, get rid of that shit. The TVA looks different, though. Like, everything about it looks very different.
It does, but, obviously this is a TVA done on a movie budget. Maybe there's more to it than we think. Maybe they're not the real TVA. Maybe they're posing as the TVA.
Yeah, but also, do you know when the suit's hung up in the locker?
Yeah.
He's wearing a name badge that says Wade.
What, a TVA name badge?
I don't know, because it looks like a Tesco name badge.
Deadpool working for Tesco now?
Apparently.
Let me see if I can find... Okay, yeah, no, it does look like he's working for a shop, doesn't it? Like some sort of...
Yeah.
There will be trailer breakdowns that know exactly what that is, but it's not like a logo I recognise.
But there's like, I don't know, there's some suits in fact that look like Fantastic Four suits, but that's a stretch. They're just blue and a bit of black.
Yeah, there's a quick shot of what seems to be Wolverine in his white suit, which he has worn in the comics.
In the casino.
Yeah, and I think in the comics, he wore that when he was hiding out in Madripoor, which we've had in a few things before. I think they went to Madripoor in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, because it's a very...
Yeah, and I'm sure if they've not... been to Madripoor again since, it's definitely been mentioned since. But I have seen people online saying, even though it's like the back of his head, that it just doesn't look like the build of Hugh Jackman. If you want to have a look at it, it is about 1 minute and 20 seconds into the trailer.
Just before that, there's like a bald person.
Oh, well,
in
that's
a chair.
Cassandra Nova. So we discussed this before, that Cassandra Nova is going to be the villain, a villain of Deadpool 3, and is Charles Xavier's twin sister. I feel like
she's
in
also
this...
bald, but I thought, I swear Xavier's bald because of something.
It depends which version of the X-Men continuity you're following. But I feel like in this, because it's a multiversal film, she might be like just a variant of Professor X.
Yeah. I also think that Wolverine's hair spikes look really way too big.
It
looked really tall.
That shot with the white suit.
All of them. The shadow as well.
Well, I have seen people theorizing that this version of Wolverine in the white suit is the long-rumoured Daniel Radcliffe version of Wolverine.
It does sit like him.
I mean, you can't really tell anything from the back of his head, can you? But that's...
It does sit like Daniel Radcliffe.
just the conversations I've seen online.
I love how Wade just seemed to, throughout the trailer, just seems to have little tufts of hair.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be mentioned at all.
Is it just like, is it bits of his wig that were stuck on? We see what seems to be quite a lot of the shots that we saw pictures of the filming in the quarry just before the writer's strike. And there is a giant destroyed 20th Century Fox logo behind him. Now, I think this is the void.
Where they get sent.
Yeah, so I think that most of this trailer is like the in the first 15 minutes of the film. I don't think this is showing as much of the film at all. So I think...
Well, he's fighting TVA agents in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like in the snow.
I think he's going to refuse to work with them. He's going to get pruned and sent to the void and then fight his way back.
The void looks much nicer than it did.
I mean, there is also, there's a shot of, there's a TVA agent shackled. He's on his knees, he's shackled by his wrists. He gets attacked by Aliath, the big smoke monster that lives in the void in Loki.
Yes, yeah. I did wonder what that was, but yeah, it's the little purple, it's the purple smoky shit.
Yeah.
People like hoods and masks pulling out some sort of weird antennary thing. But I do think you're right in it being the void, because in the back of this shot that I'm looking at, you can see the alien from New York.
Yeah, is that one of the big like whales, space whale things? Yeah. Yeah, so I think most
of
this trailer...
So when I said this whole move is in a quarry, it's all in a quarry.
I think most of this trailer, obviously we see that we go to Madripoor at some point. We get confirmation of what seems to have been quite a well-kept secret. I don't know if this was common knowledge. I didn't know it. Aaron Stanford is returning as Pyro. After 18 years, he was in the original X-Men trilogy.
With the goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was last seen in... X-Men Last Stand.
I like the little callback to the first Deadpool film.
That with the wait.
Wait!
Yep.
And I'm really hoping he's going to say, this guy wore his orange pants.
And then obviously we see the iconic shadow of Wolverine drawing his claws. And it sounds like that is the first meeting of Deadpool and Wolverine, which is what makes me think that this is all very early on in the film.
Yeah.
Because the film is called Deadpool and Wolverine. So he's not meeting him halfway through. Like, surely he's meeting him in the first act.
Yeah, a little shot of the costume as well. Very little shot.
Yeah, yeah, you do get a quick shot. And, like, this trailer has been put together so purposefully just to give you that little hint of the comic-accurate costume of the yellow and blue. But yeah, it looks great from the little we've seen, like the suit itself, the film as a whole. Like I have high hopes for it. You can't tell a lot from this other than, you know, it's keeping a very similar tone. I think that was one of the worries when Disney announced that they were going to be making a Deadpool film, was that it would be toned down. But it's keeping a lot of the same tone. It's keeping the meta jokes. He does the look to camera when he mentions Disney. He proclaims himself as Marvel Jesus and says he's going to...
I am the Messiah.
And he says, your cinematic universe. So he's calling out the MCU, like, by name, that your cinematic universe is going to change. And then, like I say, there's the giant destroyed 20th Century Fox logo, like obviously the joke being that 20th Century Fox has now been sent to a void after the Disney merger.
I love that bit at the start. Do you know when he gets pulled into TVA and he wakes up and they're like, you soiled yourself while you're unconscious? He's like, I wasn't unconscious. It feels so truly Deadpool, this trailer.
It really does. they've released a couple of really good posters for it as well. I don't know if you've seen them. So the one that they released first was, it was like one of those love heart necklaces.
Yeah,
designed to be worn by two people and they fit together, and half of it is like Deadpool's logo and half is Wolverine's logo. And then the other one that they released on Valentine's Day was the two hands, so Deadpool's hand and Wolverine's hand, doing the little love heart, doing a little love heart shape.
I like the D plus W little. Do you know what I like though? If you notice the hands, the suit is the same.
Yeah.
Like it's the exact same, just colours.
Different colours.
Yeah.
And if previous Deadpool films are anything to go by, the marketing campaign leading up to the release is like just as fun as the films.
Yeah.
And you know, it's something that, the meta nature of that character just allows them to have a bit more fun with. So I think for both of the previous ones, Ryan Reynolds recorded things in character as Deadpool to put out.
I feel like any marketing that Ryan Reynolds does is great. Like his marketing for It. If.
Oh, If, yeah.
Like that trailer's great.
Yeah, because they brought back a joke from The Office.
Yeah. That is one of the best Office jokes that they did. One of the best pranks. With Jimmy Woo.
Yeah, so the prank from The Office where Randall Park pretends that he is Jim and has been all along is what they do in this. And yeah, so Randall Park pretends that he is John Krasinski and has been all along. And
he's like, good on you for not seeing Race.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds is very confused by it. But yeah, it was a fun little bit of marketing and very clever to bring back like one of the most famous and most beloved gags from the US Office. So moving on.
So I just wanted to mention, because obviously earlier you were talking about Fantastic Four being on the release date of the Thunderbolts instead because everything got pushed back. There's actually quite a few Netflix series that have been pushed now.
Anything good? Anything interesting? Anything we care about?
Yeah, things that I care about. I don't know about you.
Okay.
So Strange Things 5 was due to begin filming in May 2023, but they've literally only just begun.
Okay.
So that's going to be pushed back. Into 2025.
I always enjoy watching Stranger Things, and I will watch this series, I think because it's the last one as well. But also, like, I don't think it's quite worth the hype. I think the first series I thought was fantastic. And since then, I feel like they just do more of the same every series, and they're not really revolutionizing anything anymore. It just feels like they're cashing in on that first series being so good.
I don't know. I feel like the first season is the worst.
Oh no, to me that was the best because it was the most unexpected. It had the really creepy horror vibes. It really did feel like a 60s coming of age story. Not 60s, sorry, an 80s coming of age story. And since then, it's not really felt like that. Like it's set in the 80s, but it doesn't feel as 80s in any other way other than, like I say, the setting.
I do feel like the last season for me was one of the best. And it came so many iconic things, specifically from Joseph Quinn's character. So many just iconic things came from that.
Eddie.
It was Eddie, the Chrissy Wake Up remixes.
I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things I like about it, and I think quite often it is the cast. Like, Winona Ryder's fantastic in it, and again, in that first series, was her at her best for me. I also really like Robin, though, and she wasn't in series one, so she's been a good addition. But yeah,
I feel 11 has become a better character
Yeah, she's
over the series. Yeah. Now she's kind of more of a real teenager and coming to terms with teenage stuff.
I think one of the things that's kind of, and like I say, I don't want to sound like I don't like Stranger Things, because I do. I just feel like it's become more predictable, especially, you know, after a few series of them following the same kind of formula. Like I said earlier, introducing a new character just to kill them off at the end, to give it that emotional weight. At least, I guess, if this was the final series, they could actually kill off some main characters.
Which I feel like they will. There's a lot of speculation that Eddie will come back as some sort of, because it's the only season that's kind of a sequel in a way. Like at the end of each season, the main villain has been done away with, but on this it is the same villain. So that's obviously not going to come out well into 2025, really.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes me not as bothered about it is that we all know that no matter what happens through the series, Eleven's going to save the day by holding out her hand and screaming at something and having a nosebleed.
Maybe this time she's not.
What, she's not going to have a nosebleed?
Oh, no, she'll probably have a nosebleed.
Oh, okay.
Maybe she won't save the day. That town doesn't exist anymore. But yeah, so there's that. Wednesday is now due to begin filming in late April.
Yeah, again, enjoyed watching Wednesday. Really liked, what's her name?
Jenna Ortega.
Yeah. Really liked Jenna Ortega in that. And I kind of want to see her in more stuff, though. Like,
some of the stuff coming out of that Miller's Girl, looks fantastic. Girl looks
great. She's in one of the new Scream films that I've not watched yet.
Yeah, she's really good in that, but
looking forward to seeing her there. Enjoyed watching it, but to me there was just a lot of things about it that wasn't the Wednesday Addams I knew or I know or I want. Like,
it's a different take on it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like she could talk the talk as Wednesday Addams. So like if someone said that they were going to torture her, she'd be like, yeah, can't wait. Don't threaten me with a good time sort of thing. But then when it came down to it, she'd try and escape, which I feel like Wednesday Addams wouldn't. She'd enjoy the torture. Like that's the Addams Family kind of film thing.
We are talking about Netflix. We got no sadism in here.
I mean, the two great Addams Family films are like family films, and there are a lot of adult jokes in those. And
I mean, there's a lot of adult jokes in The Simpsons.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, there's also One Piece, which there's not even been announced when that's going to go into production yet.
I've not seen Series 1 yet.
I've heard a lot of good stuff about it. And then just a few others that have been definitely said they are not returning in 2024. Some are I am looking forward to. Some I'm not. I don't think I've even watched. So Sweet Magnolias. I'm not sure. Ginny and Georgia is great.
What's that?
At first, I thought it was just going to be this kind of chick flick series kind of thing. When it's really not, it is a lot darker and has got a lot more twists and turns in it.
Okay.
So it's basically about a 15-year-old and a 30-year-old mother who's done a lot of things to try and keep a family together, not necessarily the right things and some quite bad things. And it's kind of just about them. And I thought it was just going to be quite a chill thing, but it's a lot darker. It's definitely worth a watch. It very much surprised me. There's The Lincoln Lawyer, The Watcher, Exo Kitty, The Recruit, and Virgin River. All have been pushed to at least 2025.
Okay.
Some things that are, though, is new episodes of Bridgerton.
Yep.
Which I enjoy. I think is really good.
I only watched series one.
Series 2 is really good. One thing I really like about that is the take on the music, because it's like a 1800s. It's kind of set,
yeah.
Like a late 1800s spin on traditional on pop.
Yeah, like it's what Westworld used to do.
Yeah.
Westworld was great at that, taking like modern songs and just old westing them up.
Yeah, and it just adds so much to a show, I think.
Yeah. And then there was that great one where they went to Shogun World. And so you get... So I'm going off on a complete tangent here. They reused scenes from Westworld. So events that would play out in Westworld, they just transferred them over to Shogun World. So you get like the same things happening, but with samurai instead of cowboys.
I don't think I've even got that far in Westworld.
You get the same music playing, but instead of being like old Westified, it's like ancient Japanified.
Ancient Japanified.
Yeah.
Word of the day, people. Japanified.
So, I mean, if you look, it's the same guy that did it, that did the like Game of Thrones soundtrack. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his name, but if you look on Spotify, you can see like his version of Paint It Black that's from Westworld, and then his version of Paint It Black that's from Shogun World.
Shogun World still in Westworld.
It's a different one of the parks. Westworld is just it's the first.
No, park. As in it's still in the show Westworld.
Yeah,
it's not like a spin-off.
No,
because I've not got that far. Ramin Djawadi.
Yeah,
head.
Yeah, that's his name.
But yeah, so Bridgerton will be returning. Cobra Kai, which I know is very popular.
It is very popular. I've never seen it, but I have heard very good.
I've not watched it yet. Squid Game, which I know a lot of people are going to be excited for. I'm not sure how it's going to work in a second season.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Hopefully, it won't look, because you know I don't think anyone expected it to be the global phenomenon that it became. And I feel like that kind of response can then put a lot of pressure on you for a series two. So, I hope they manage to pull that off.
And then the other is Emily in Paris, which I haven't watched, but I know it has had a very big reception on Netflix. But yeah, this is just all spin-off from the strikes of 2023.
Yeah, well, like we knew it was going to have big ramifications.
But I feel like we got month on month, we're going to see them ramifications still happening.
Yeah.
I reckon there'll be movies that go, we just can't get this ready in time.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk briefly, very briefly, because neither of us, as far as I'm aware, have seen it. Let's talk about Madame Web. I just want to talk about the reaction, the response to that. It is now lower on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a lower score than Morbius. It is officially like the lowest rated of Sony's Spider-Man universe films. It's currently at 13%. And I don't know about you, but it really makes me want to go and see it. Like, I just the things I've been hearing about it, I just really want to witness this train wreck of a film. And maybe I'll watch it and I'll be pleasantly surprised and it won't be as bad as everyone's saying, but I want to witness, like, what the hell has happened.
There's things on X. Just change it back to Twitter already. People say no matter how bad Madam Web is, I don't think anyone can dethrone Catwoman's 134-cut basketball game as the worst scene in movie history.
Yeah, the Halle Berry Catwoman film was a bizarre film.
People have got your sentiment of the worse I hear Madam Web is, the more excited I am to see it.
Yeah, I really do. Do you want to, shall we go and see it?
Shall we? Shall we just do it?
I've still not watched Morbius because it sounded like that was just boringly bad. But this sounds like it's like spectacularly bad.
It really does.
And you thought the trailer looked pretty good, I remember.
I think it's just because it's got Sydney Sweeney in it.
I seem to recall.
I think it's just because Sydney Sweeney's in it. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I don't backtrack now.
I'm not. It's still good because she's still in it. There are people on Twitter saying Sydney Sweeney's the only good thing about Madam Web.
Just point out that so far I'm winning our predictions. I did predict that Madam Web would be the worst film of 2024.
What did I say? Or is that you, just something
I believe,
you said?
Said Craven.
Do you know what? I still stand by it. I mean, still think that is going to be worse.
But the trouble is...
Sony need to stay out of things.
Yeah, the trouble is all of this adds to people's perceptions of the MCU going downhill. Because I have seen so many articles and like articles from like big major newspapers like The Times and The Guardian that describe it in the headline as Marvel's latest film. And while, you know, they're kind of right, but it's a film based on Marvel characters, it is not made by Marvel Studios, and that is the big
difference
between them. And so the more that Sony keep putting out these shocking films, the more people are going to think that MCU's gone to shit. But it's also, the more Sony keep losing money on these films,
the more likely they are to sell it.
Yeah, possibly. Or just stop doing, like, just keep doing the collaborations with Marvel for the Spider-Man films. Keep doing the animated Spider-Verse films, because they're great. But just stop trying to build your own cinematic universe. Like, for one, people are over cinematic universes now. You're about 10 years too fucking late doing this. And two, you're not very good at it.
Just some of the tweets. Do you know what? Twitter is useless apart from reading tweets about people bitching about things.
Yeah, but like...
I think Madam Web may be one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Not since Attack of the Clones have I been this shocked at the technical incompetency of a studio film with a pretty high budget. Suicide Squad, I dislike more, but Madam Web is the worst made cape film I've seen.
Wow. So, just on my point about cinematic universes, like after the MCU like really took off with Avengers, everyone was trying to make their own cinematic universe. I can't think of any that actually took off. I mean, the closest that anyone got was DC.
And they're having to rebrand.
Yeah, they're rebooting now. Universal was launching their Monsters universe and like even got as far as casting like everybody. There's a now infamous photo shoot with everyone that's going to be in their Monsters universe. And they did one film, which was The Mummy with Tom Cruise, and it was terrible, and they scrapped the lot.
Do you think some people might have thought that movie were better if there wasn't already a Mummy movie? The trilogy, which is great.
I don't know. It was just generally a pretty boring film. And it spent too long. Because this is, you know, everyone, again, after Avengers, everyone was trying to play catch-up in establishing their cinematic universe. And so it spent more time dropping hints at what future films could be coming than it did on just ensuring that it was a good film.
I always just have this like image in my head of after the MCU finished its like first phase and second phase, and there's just people in all the different companies' boardrooms going, Marvel came up with this idea in a cave.
They were on the edge of bankruptcy and they pulled this off. Why can't we? But again, it's because Iron Man was just Iron Man. They just did an Iron Man film and they stuck Samuel Jackson post credits. They weren't spending the entire film teasing.
Thinking of how to set things up.
Yeah, they weren't teasing Captain America. They weren't teasing Hulk. They weren't teasing anything else through that film. They just made an Iron Man film. And
they gave it a start and a finish.
And then the same with Hulk. Whatever people might think to the Incredible Hulk, I quite like it. But they just made an Incredible Hulk film. And then there was one scene that was Tony Stark talking to General Ross. And that's it. That's all it needed to connect those two films. One scene, very short scene as well. You don't need to spend your entire film like dropping hints, because then you're not focusing on the film that you're actually watching.
Which I feel has been Marvel's problem for a bit. Yeah.
I guess the Amazing Spider-Man films was Sony's first attempt at doing this. Because if you remember in Amazing Spider-Man 2, there's a scene where someone's walking down a corridor in Oscorp, and behind him there's vultures' wings, and there's Doc Ock's tentacles, and there's just hints at all the villains.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't need to do this.
Focus on the film.
Yeah, which was bad.
I liked the first one. And obviously they're trying to catch a scene in the second one. Like nothing can.
Yeah. We've discussed that before. That is a fantastic scene in a terrible film.
But yeah. So while we're talking about Marvel, just a quick one. Rosario Dawson has been very enthusiastic to people get taken to Twitter and things like that. Can we just call it Twitter from now on? People know what we mean when we say Twitter.
Yeah.
And even your iPhone, if you type in Twitter, still brings up X.
If you go to x.com, it redirects to twitter.com still. That's how poorly they've rebranded.
Not they, him. It was all him. So yeah, Rosario Dawson has been very enthusiastic in people's calls on Twitter to have her return as her Daredevil character, Claire Temple.
Yeah, and she was a great character in that, yeah.
Yeah, and just being in it, people have said, like, with the Netflix series now canon, would you be willing to return as Claire? And she's literally put, of course, hashtag unfinished business. That sort of response. So she's up for it, do you know what I mean? And I feel like when a actor or actress is so vocally up for a role that is a good role, was perceived very well.
Yeah, it's something that the fans would want as well.
Yeah. Writers and directors go, do you know what? It makes sense.
Yeah.
Even if it is a smaller role, do you know what I mean? Something they're not going to have to change things for it. But I think it'd be great to see her in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Weren't we talking about Daredevil being... Was there some change on the episode number?
I don't know.
A few weeks ago, I'm sure we spoke about that off podcast.
I don't know if the episode number's changed. I do know, and I think we spoke about this on podcast, that Karen and Foggy are both back.
Yeah, we did.
Also, I've now got to the end of Echo.
So we can talk about Echo.
So some spoilers for Echo coming up.
And the fact she's got superpowers.
Yeah, which... We knew anyway, her hands glowed in like episode 2.
Oh yeah, because glowy hands means everything.
Well, obviously that means she's got superpowers of some sort. But I think it was a good series. I think it's better than I expected.
Everyone by surprise.
The people that have bothered to watch it, yeah. And it just reminds how good Kingpin is and makes me really excited for him coming back in Daredevil.
I thought the suit was great. I love all the way through that series, just the homage to the Chukwue tribe.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing I was going to talk about is at the end of that, when he gets the idea to run for mayor of New York, which we already know from things that have been spotted on set, is part of the storyline of Daredevil Series 3, is that Kingpin is running for mayor. I think there have been posters spotted on the set that, you know, like vote for Fisk. I was going to say vote for Kingpin. We probably wouldn't call him Kingpin on a mayoral candidate poster. Vote for the kingpin of crime. vote for Fisk.
So it basically turns New York into Gotham.
but from the end of that, like, I'm not, like, is he going to be a reformed character now? Because it seems so. Let's talk about Echo's powers. Echo's powers are healing powers.
Yes.
And at the end, also, she puts.
I don't think they're just healing powers, though, because they were talking about how all of the women kind of live inside the generations.
Yeah.
And each episode is that name. And each woman at the start of the episodes they went through kind of had their own little thing.
Yeah, yeah, true.
In a way. And especially if she's come from, I cannot remember her name, the very first one.
Yeah.
Like, they seem like a lot more magical power status.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. A little bit more than a twinkly hand.
I don't know.
So maybe she's got a little bit more, but we've seen that healing is a big...
Yeah, she seemed to be able to heal, and at the end there, she puts her hands on Fisk's head.
Heals his eye.
She heals his eye, but she also, because he's having like flashbacks to traumatic periods of his life, and you see that white wall that is such a big part of Daredevil Series 1.
Yeah.
And she seems to be trying to heal him mentally, is what I took from it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is he going to be a reformed character, or does that just run too deep in who he is?
All questions to be answered in Daredevil.
Okay, so you have no thoughts either way.
I have no idea.
Okay. Okay, so I think that's it really for our regular kind of news for the comic book superhero TV and films. But there's been quite a few other trailers and things released recently. So is there anything in particular you want to discuss? Any other trailers?
Let's start with the shortest one, Kung Fu Panda 4.
But Kung Fu Panda's always a good time.
It is, and I just love that there's a load of bunnies in it with weapons going, violence, violence, violence.
Yeah, like, I feel like they'll just keep making those films forever. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
As long as Jack Black's alive.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised in like, 10 years' time that another Kung Fu Panda. Another Kung Fu... Oh, for fuck's sake.
We have bloopers again. Actually, we just leave them in now.
Yeah.
That's how confident we are with our podcasting ability. We're like, fuck the bloopers. You can all listen to our mistakes.
Yep.
One more time.
Kung Fu Panda. You say it slowly.
Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised in 10 years like there's another Kung Fu Panda film coming out.
Anyway. I'm the dyslexic one. Anyway, Kung Fu Panda, yeah, in 10 years. Cool.
Yeah.
There was the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
The more I see of that, the more...
Oh, it looks fantastic.
Really, really want to see that. And I really enjoyed the original trilogy that they did there. So, yeah. Yeah, that's one that I'm really looking forward to. And it looks like it's getting closer to the original Planet of the Apes film.
Timeline.
Because it's got to the point now where apes can talk and humans can't, by the looks of it. Humans are now the primitive ones.
But is that why they're saying she's smarter than the rest, because she can talk?
I think possibly.
But yeah, it does look fantastic. There was another short one for Moana 2, which was, I think, quite a surprise for everyone.
Yeah, so that was like the announcement. It does sound like Lin-Manuel Miranda's not going to be a part of that, though, which
is
a shame. I mean, when it was first announced, even Dwayne Johnson hadn't signed up to it yet. I think that has now been confirmed that actually he will be part of it.
They'll probably try and persuade Lin to join it.
I would hope so. This was originally going to be a TV series. This was announced a while ago as a TV series of Moana.
And there's a live action announced.
Yeah, yeah, that's separate.
Yeah.
That's its own thing. But yeah, this was going to be an animated Moana TV series, which has now been repurposed into a movie.
They think it's that good.
I think they probably just realised there's the audience there for it. And I mean, if it was going to be a Disney Plus series, I think we're moving away from that a bit now. I don't think it's been the cash cow that they were hoping it was going to be, I think. Because now, like Turning Red, I don't know if you've watched that.
Yeah.
Brilliant Pixar film that was released straight onto Disney Plus.
Red Pandas, love them.
Now being given a theatrical release.
Oh.
So I think they are realizing that there is still, you know, demand for these things to be released in the cinema.
Yeah, I think it just took a little bit of time, you know. I think cinemas are slowly recovering. It just took a lot longer than they thought it would.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, after years of us being told to avoid people at all costs, yeah, of course people felt a bit weird about sitting in the cinema again.
I was so confused about it because I've been avoiding people for years. Yeah, there are obviously, they are still doing some Disney series because they released the trailer for Iwaju, which is going to be a Disney Plus series.
It is.
Which actually I think looks great.
I think it looks all right. I think it looks like it's geared more towards kids.
So me.
I'll wait and see what the reaction is to it.
You'll let me watch it first and then. But it's about a super powered lizard, basically. Well, which looks great.
Yeah, so set in a futuristic Nigeria. It gave me kind of Wakanda vibes.
Yeah.
The trailer that's been released recently that I found most exciting, other than Deadpool 3.
Despicable Me.
Is no, Wicked.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know if you were even going to bring this up.
Yeah, no, I really, like, this has been a stage production for 20 years now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about time.
I think it's one of the most popular stage productions.
Yeah, yeah, it's hugely popular. Well, yeah, you don't get to run for 20 years otherwise.
Well, yeah. I've seen a lot of people obviously commenting on Ariana Grande's look. And I've seen a lot of people defending her, saying you do realise you're comparing her to photos of her like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like people age and she's changed her hair colour. But I think she looks and sounds fantastic in this. And she was an actress before pop stardom on the Disney Channel.
Was she in the High School Musical films?
No. She was in Sam and Cat.
Okay. Okay, not things that I've seen from the looks of it.
She was in Zoolander too.
Yeah.
So she was an actress before she kind of blew up as a pop star.
And it's a play that I've been wanting to see for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
I do really love the theatre, but just it's not something that I get to do often because all the big productions are in like London. So unless you catch them touring or you make a special trip down, and it ends up being quite expensive. So yeah, I'm all for movie adaptations of these things. What I have done actually a few times is National Theatre records the actual stage plays and then broadcasts them in cinemas. So I have been to watch plays in the cinema a few times just because it's a cheaper and more convenient way to actually see the plays. But also, like, the camera gets right in there, so you end up with such a different perspective on it than you would get actually watching it live. And yeah, you know, it's never quite a substitute for actually going to the theatre, but it is a really interesting different perspective.
There's some really good people in this as well. Obviously, you've got Ariana Grande, you've got Cynthia Erivo, who's playing Elphaba, I think is how you say the name. Ariana Grande is obviously playing Linda. You've got Jonathan Bailey, who's from Bridgerton, Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got Keila Settle, who played the bearded lady in
Hugh Jackman Invents a Circus.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum is in it as the wizard himself.
Of Oz. I can't think of a more wizardy voice. Ethan Slater is in it, who's a singer. So there's some really good voices in there. Adam James is in there, who's been in a lot of things.
I think it looks really good.
It
Something
does.
I have noticed in trailers for musicals, they always kind of shy away from the fact that it's a musical. They very rarely. So, like, Mean Girls, the musical, has recently been in cinemas. But from the trailer, it wasn't obvious that that's what it was.
No.
It wasn't obvious that it was a musical version.
That is doing very well at the box office, though.
I really want to see it. I love Mean Girls.
I do. It's a great film.
Okay, so what other trailers were there? There was a Despicable Me 4 trailer. I mean, there's been a proper trailer, but at the Super Bowl, there was a fun little clip that just, it showed the Minions doing, like, AI work. So I guess the idea is when you put an AI prompt into an image generator, the Minions quickly make you a picture and then send it back.
Yeah. I think they are capitalising on it because the Minions are the best thing about Despicable Me.
I think the one that surprised a lot of people is Twisters, which is the sequel to a 1996 film, Twister, which is, I was going to call it a cult classic. I think it's too popular to be called cult, probably. But yeah, it, one of those films that, you know, it came out and kind of took the world by storm when it did.
Hey, see what you did there.
It was by accident. And probably never needed a sequel. But then neither did Top Gun, and that did really well and is a good film. So I'll be really interested to see how that comes out. It kind of it looks a bit like a remake from the trailer, like, but then, you know, how much is there you can do with a Twister apart from make another Twister?
Basically doing, like, tests on Twisters, right?
Yeah, but they're basically storm chasers. But yeah, you definitely watch Twister. It's been years since I've seen it, but it is an enjoyable film. The other big one that's been released in the Super Bowl isn't for a movie, it's for a TV show that I wasn't actually aware was happening. And it's a Paramount Plus series, Knuckles.
Oh yeah, that looks great.
Does it?
Yeah, it looks funny.
I don't know. I've liked both of the Sonic movies so far, but mostly because of Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
There was nothing in this trailer that
The Hound
really,
is in this.
Well, there was nothing in this trailer that really made me want to watch it. So, again, it's probably one I'll wait and see the reaction to, but at the minute, I'm not sold. I'm more looking forward to Sonic 3, which will obviously feature Knuckles as well.
Yeah.
And I would imagine this will tie into it to an extent, in the same way that the Marvel TV shows tend to tie into the films, which is like, if you've not seen the TV show, it's not a big deal. But if you have, there's an extra bit of context for you, is what I would imagine.
Yeah. It just looks funny to me.
And then the other trailer I quickly want to mention, it wasn't a Super Bowl one, but I think it's been released today or yesterday, is the new Godzilla and Kong trailer, which just looks like utter nonsense. Like, I watched the first Godzilla versus Kong, and
do you know what? I'm just not interested in.
Yeah, well, I like Godzilla, and I like King Kong. Like, what's not to like about these, like, giant rampaging animals?
I think the only one I've liked is Kong.
Kong was a brilliant film. But you're like watch Godzilla Minus One. That's, like, peak Godzilla. It's Godzilla done right.
Are we saying peak as millennials would say, or peak as in Gen Z peak?
What's the difference?
Millennial peak is good. Gen Z peak is, like, bad.
What? Why is it bad? Why?
It's just a bit peak, innit?
What? That doesn't make sense.
Don't ask me, I'm a millennial. I'm just on the border, so I learn.
Oh, no, good. Like, watch Godzilla
Minus. That is ridiculous, though, isn't it? That peak means bad.
Yeah. But yeah, like, this trailer for, I can't even remember what it's called, because it's not Godzilla versus Kong now, because they're friends now. It's like Godzilla X Kong, Return of the Kongzillas.
The New Empire.
The trailer kind of reminds me.
Really? Oh, I'm going to look at it.
Have I got to wait for you to watch this trailer?
See how far I get on it. Do you know one thing I hate about Godzilla? He always seems to be standing in the ocean, but he's not tall enough to do that.
Maybe he floats.
He's floating very fucking stably. It always really irks me, but he's just stood in the middle of the ocean.
I don't think you ever see him stood in the middle of the ocean. Like, you might see him stood, like, next to a bridge or something. Like, he's usually next to land, at least. If you see him in the middle of the ocean, you see him swimming, and it's just like his fins, his little spikies sticking up.
No, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, is in middle of water. He's got short-ass legs, and he's just stood.
Oh, he stood on a whale there.
Just riding around like the world turtle. Well, that looks utterly ridiculous. The only exciting thing about that trailer is the cute baby Kong.
It reminds me of, like, trailers for Transformers films. Yeah. But not like the newer Transformers films, like the ones where it just turned into 2 hours of robots punching each other with no story.
Yeah. I feel like the only good Transformers film's the first one.
No, Bumblebee was good.
Oh, yeah. Bumblebee was really good. I mean, like Transformers movies. Yeah. Bumblebee was good.
And Kong's got like a big metal glove now.
Infinity Gauntlet.
There's an evil Kong. It looks like evil Kong might have his own evil Godzilla as well.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it just...
Are they all kaiju, or is Godzilla just a kaiju?
I think any like, giant...
animal.
Yeah, any giant monster like that is a kaiju, I would say.
I mean, the Godzilla was still stood in water. Stupid.
But, yeah, I
feel like we've not talked about one, but I'm surprised you've not brought it up yet.
Oh, go on, then.
X-Men 97?
Oh, shit, X-Men 97.
I've been waiting.
It looks really good.
And
I'm
just
really
before you end the podcast, I'm like, you know, have you forgot anything? Or?
Yeah, no, I think X-Men 97 looks great. Like, I love that they've stuck to the original animation
style.
I didn't
think they was going to, but I'm glad they did.
It's like the original style, but it looks updated. Like,
yeah.
It's the original style, but done in high def. Like, the colours just
weird,
pop a bit more.
It's a bit weird, really, because it's like that animation, but it's different.
But yeah, like, I really liked that trailer. And I want to, like, when does that come out? I don't think it's all that long. I kind of want to rewatch all the original X-Men cartoon first.
Jesus Christ, that'll take you a while.
Well, the first thing I did when Disney Plus came out was rewatch the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. And that had a crossover episode with X-Men. It was
March.
Done around the same time. Yeah, so I'm probably not going to manage that.
There's some really cool things in there, lad. There's a bit where Gambit jumps on the back of Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, makes his claws club.
Yeah. I loved Cyclops using Professor X's famous line, "To me, my X-Men."
No, I didn't like it.
Did you not?
No. This prick.
And then there's the twist right at the very end that it looks like Magneto now owns Xavier's school for the Gifted.
Yeah. When Cyclops said that line, though, I did just... I can't remember what movie it's from, where it's... from Harry Potter. It's like, how dare you stand where he stood? Well, how dare you stand where he sat?
Yeah. Maybe that's in, like, the terms of the will. Like, look, you can have the school, but
you'd have to ride around in a wheelchair all the time.
You do have to break your spine first.
Just like fucking with people. It's like, I'll give you this, but you have to ride around in a wheelchair.
I went to a science museum in Manchester. I saw Stephen Hawking's wheelchair.
Was he still in it?
No, he's dead.
No, no.
I just thought you might like to know.
Oh, that is cool. That is very cool.
Okay, so let's do something we've not done for a while.
Oh, God.
Let's do some recommendations.
Da, 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 da. This segment is the recommendations.
There you go.
So what we normally do here is I'll recommend something new that I've watched and you'll recommend something from 20 years ago that you've just discovered.
Yeah, it's true.
So what have I been watching? I watched, and I think, you know, a lot of people are on board with this. I really like murder documentaries. I know I'm not alone there. There's one on Netflix that... And the good thing is it's a one-off, like it's a documentary film. It's not going to be like a 10-hour series, which puts me off sometimes. Like, oh, this looks interesting. Oh, I've got to, like, dedicate the next 6 months of my life to it. It's called Lover, Stalker, Killer.
I've heard a lot about this.
Yeah, it was really good. There's some interesting twists in it. I mean, some of them... I saw coming, but it was a really good, just one of those unbelievable.
It's a documentary style?
No, it's a documentary.
Is it just a straight up documentary?
Yeah, yeah.
For the reviews I've seen were saying it was documentary style, so I was like, oh, okay, is it like a... They're all actors, but this... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's just one of those documentaries that's just... You know, unbelievable twists and turns. Like, you cannot imagine these things actually happening, yet they did. And, you know, the people that they happened to through no fault of their own, it's just crazy bad luck through online dating. And it gave me flashbacks. I don't know if you ever saw the documentary that came out in, like, 2009. It was called Tall, Hot, Blonde. Which I think was the first kind of like catfishing documentary I saw, because it was, you know, a different landscape then. Online dating wasn't as prevalent as it is now. But yeah, so I would recommend Lover, Stalker, Killer. I would also, off the back of that, recommend Tall, Hot, Blonde, although I can't find that streaming anywhere for free. And it's spelt weirdly, because it was a person's online handle. So it's all one word, but tall is spelt with one L and blonde is missing the E off the end. So it's like towel, hot, blonde. So I've been watching that. I've just finished watching Lessons in Chemistry, which I know I've mentioned to you before, starring Brie Larson. There is nothing that I will not watch Brie Larson in. She is a queen. And
you're in the minority.
I am not. I am clearly not. But yeah, the show itself is fantastic. It's based on a book, and it's set in the 60s, I believe, the 50s or the 60s, and it's about a female chemist. And the kind of prejudices and preconceived notions that people have about her.
Yeah.
And also, like, some shocking twists in that as well. Like, it's not a particularly uplifting watch through a lot of it, but it was a great series and highly recommended. The other one that I am currently watching, it's on Apple TV and they've not finished releasing it yet. I think there's another episode or maybe two. And that's called Criminal Record. And that's starring Peter Capaldi. And it is about... it's kind of about corruption in the police force. And the lengths that people will go to get a conviction, and again, prejudices that people have. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but so in the first episode, there's a 999 call comes in where someone says, like, I'm worried that my boyfriend's going to kill me, and he has told me that he has killed someone before, and that there's currently a man serving 23 years in prison for that murder, so he knows he can get away with it. He's got away with it before and he can do it again. And it's basically like one cop's crusade to try and free the person who has been wrongly convicted and is serving time in prison. And then Peter Capaldi was the arresting officer on that case. So she's confronting him. He's trying to brush it away because obviously he doesn't want to be seen to have done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether the person in prison is innocent or not. Like, you know, he's trying to cover his own back because it's his career that he's protecting. So yeah, I'll not say any more on that one, but that it has been such a fantastic series. And I will be sad when that's over.
Right, what have I been watching from 20 years ago? Because I think the thing is, like, obviously we've got things that we watch, like, not just for the podcast, but the things that we talk about mainly on the podcast. And I think I like to have something to just binge, like, that's got a lot of series already out and I can just binge it in between those things coming out. So obviously I said I watched Gossip Girl. I think I said that in the last one. Finished that. I've been watching lately Masters of Sex.
Oh yeah, I heard that was very good. That came out a while ago.
It is fantastic. I'm on the last season now, I think. And it is so good. And it kind of shows how far we've come since then. So obviously it's all based off a true story. But in a way, it also shows us how far we've, like, circled. Because it's all about the, you know, shying away from the conversation of sex and the stigma around it. And I feel like we're coming kind of full circle, but also the fact of being a woman in, like, 1960s, 1950s, 1960s, and also being a different race other than white in that time period, or a different sexuality. And it is really, really good. It's a really good watch. Definitely worth it. The other thing I watched was Reacher on Amazon Prime.
I've heard very good things about Reacher,
which is fantastic. It took me a while to realise where I remember Alan Ritchson from. I think it was Blue Mountain State. If you've ever watched it.
No.
Blue Mountain State is fantastic. It's a bit like, it's basically like American Pie in a series, in a way.
Okay.
But it's about a football team. And it's got that kind of American Pie, Van Wilder feel. So that is very good. But yeah, Reacher is really good. Just finished the second season that's just come out. And that is great. Have you been playing anything lately?
I have been playing Sea of Stars, and it's a really, really fun. It's like a classic RPG. It's like a homage to the, like, old NES RPGs. It reminds me a lot of a game we've spoken about on Golden here before, Sun. Golden Sun. Very reminiscent of Golden Sun, very reminiscent of the old Final Fantasy games. But yeah, I'm completely hooked on that at the minute. Also, the other day I finally platinumed Dead Island 2.
Okay.
Phil, who was on our gaming special podcast episode, came round, both sat there with a TV each and our PlayStations, and got the multiplayer trophies that we needed for Dead Island.
And, I feel like we are due another gaming special.
Yeah, definitely.
I've already got a guest lined up.
Okay.
For specifically to talk about Baldur's Gate, quite in a hell of a lot of detail, but we can now.
I'm still waiting for Baldur's Gate to release crossplay.
I know. We've got Dead Island 2 we can speak about. I need to finish playing the DLC for that, which I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't played the DLC.
I've started playing it. It's creepy as shit. Like, even more so, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I thought I'm going to restart as a new character and then do the DLC. So I think we are due a gaming spectacular. What I've been playing, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I've been playing a lot of fan-made Pokemon games lately.
Okay, yeah.
So things like Radical Red, I'm currently playing Radical Red. I love because it's just the most infuriating Pokemon game. Because normally, like, I like playing Pokemon games, and I'm one of them people on a normal Pokemon game. I'm just pretty much got all attacking moves on my Pokemon, and I type match.
Yeah.
So I'm just switching Pokemon in and out to type match, rather than, you know, using status and effect moves. Well, you just can't do that on Radical Red, because the difficulty is being bumped to ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'm just currently playing Light Platinum, which is just completely, it's got all of the Gen 1 to 5 Pokemon in, but it's kind of complete story. The story's great. It's about Arceus and all the Pokemon he created, all the legendaries revolting against him because of the evil team in the game.
Okay.
What I like about it is that the people that created it took the time to include your responses. Do you know on normal Pokemon games, you talk to someone, they just talk, and you're silent, basically.
Oh, okay.
They've put script in for your character, so it's a two-way conversation.
Yeah. I heard of a fan-made Pokemon game that's called, I think it's Pokemon Merge, someone told me about.
Yes.
And that's meant to be very good.
Pokemon Fusion.
Fusion, that's it.
Yeah, so where you can fuse Pokemon. Like, a lot of them, they have picked sprites for the fusions.
Yeah.
But obviously they can't do it for everyone. So some of them look a bit glitchy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're mine. What I want to do is I want to get everyone else to recommend to me, because what I've been trying to do lately, because my sleeping pattern is fucked. And watching shows is fine, because I need noise when I go to sleep. I can't sleep in silence because my mind just races. But if I'm watching something on TV that's too gripping, I can't stop watching and I stay awake. So I've been trying, I want to listen to more podcasts for that reason, but also because we do a podcast. So I want recommendations on podcasts.
Okay, well, I can recommend you a few that I listen to. So I listen to a few Dungeons and Dragons podcasts. So Dragon Friends is my absolute favorite. And it's absolutely mental because it's a group of Australian comedians who at the beginning have never played D&D before. And they do just do their best to derail it and take the piss. And there's some episodes where, like, they don't even end up rolling the dice because they're spending the entire time just role-playing and not getting anywhere near anything that the DM's actually planned. And that's
like my D&D game.
That can be a lot of fun. Like, that is probably, like, my favourite podcast. It's what, as soon as a new episode pops, I listen to it. There's that one. There's Not Another D&D Podcast, which is similar. It's a comedy D&D podcast, but they do a lot more, you know, actual playing. My other, like, favorite podcast that I subscribe to the Patreon for is the QI podcast, which is called No Such Thing as a Fish. And they've got hundreds and hundreds of episodes.
That sounds like it might be quite good. Would I need to start from the beginning, or...?
You don't need to, no, but like I said, there are hundreds. Like, start at the most recent and work your way backwards. But I know that's just been added to BBC Sounds.
Okay.
Ad-free as well. So it's on the usual podcast places, but if you listen to it on there, it's ad-free.
Yeah, because I noticed, I was trying to listen to one yesterday. I started off with True Crime, because I've heard that a lot of people listen to True Crime podcasts before they go to sleep. I turned that off within 30 seconds because it was creeping the shit out of me. I was laid in bed there, eyes closed, and it's talking about in New Orleans, like, the middle of the night, you're in bed, your eyes are starting to close, and it plays a noise, and it's like, and you hear a noise. What was that? And I'm like, nope. Stop talking about axe murderers.
Yep. Yeah, it's probably not a good one to go to sleep to.
But a lot of people do it. Starting to think they're psychopaths, because as soon as it started playing, I were uneasy. But it played, like, on Spotify, which is weird. because I'm not used to it, but played 3 or 4 ads before the episode.
A podcast that I've listened to like since it first started, which basically gave me the idea for what became News of the Nerd. It's what made me think, like, yeah, I could talk about this stuff. And it's called Cinematic Universe. But every week they spoke about like a different superhero or comic book film. So if you go back to the beginning on that, like early on, they do like Iron Man. They work their way through all the MCU films. So they've done all the X-Men films, but they've done like lesser known films as well. But they exhausted their list of films to talk about. So they still do new releases, but they've just started talking about any other film now. So they did Poor Things that came out in cinema the other week, and they've done one on Shortcomings, which came out last year, that I watched because of that podcast and really enjoyed. So that's it's a decent one to listen to as well. And just before we go, I want to mention I am reading Spider Boy by Dan Slott. And I've also been continued reading, I know I mentioned it before, but The Incredible Hulk current run. I did previously give away some digital comic codes for The Incredible Hulk comic books. So after the credits on this episode, I'll give away some more codes that I've accumulated in the meantime. So yeah, I think that's it for this episode anyway. So thank you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us on notnpod@gmail.com, or you can message us on Twitter or pretty much anywhere else on social media. We are at News of the Nerd. If you'd like to help this podcast grow, if you've enjoyed listening, then please give us a rating on your podcast app of choice, especially on Apple Podcasts. And please subscribe so that you don't miss the next episode. And the most useful thing you can do to help us is to tell your friends, tell anybody that you think would be interested in hearing us ramble on about Deadpool and X-Men and whatever other nonsense we've spoken about. So until next episode, that's goodbye from me.
Au revoir, passez un moment marvelleux.
And whatever he said.
I said goodbye, have a beautiful time.
Thank you for sticking with us till the end. So here are the codes for another 4 issues of The Incredible Hulk. And to redeem these, you just go to marvel.com/redeem. So the code for issue 5 is XHB4XHL5WYC77.
The code for issue 6 is S3NMW9AXD9WC1.
The code for issue 7 is 1Q8VLF0D78N9R. So that's all the Incredible Hulk codes for now. I've also got here a code for Spider-Man India, issue 1, which is QE5BK1PLJ3HT8.